A new press release says, as the 2020 presidential election looms, America is divided between one party that wants to preserve our founding principles and one party that wants to propel us headlong into socialism. Socialism is arguably the most discredited idea in history after slavery, argues Dinesh D'Souza. Yet a new form of socialism, identity socialism, has captured the minds of the progressive left and is seeping into our everyday culture at breakneck speed. Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our guest is Dinesh D'Souza. He has a new movie out, and it is called The Trump Card. Dinesh, great to have you back on the program. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, it's always a pleasure. Looking forward to it.
Sure. I always enjoy your movies. And somewhere I read that you thought maybe this is your most important movie, which is saying a lot because your movies are very, they're culture shaping, which is great.
Well, thank you. You know, I think that the Obama movie that I did several years ago and the Hillary movie helped to define what those two figures stood for. The theme of this movie really is socialism. It's based on my book, which came out a couple months ago, called United States of Socialism, because I think that's the destination that the left wants to take us in. Now, it's sort of a unique type of socialism. It's not a carbon copy of the socialisms of the past. But then Trump is sort of the antidote to all that. And since Trump defines the debate really for both sides, I thought it appropriate to call the movie Trump Card.
All right, very good. And by the way, I've got to ask you this. In this day of COVID-19, where even a major movie chain is now pulling the plug, they're saying we're going out of business because of COVID-19. How are you getting your movie out in the first place?
Well, we had planned to release the movie in the theater, but I was worried that not enough theaters were open, and in some places they're open but with great limitations. So this movie is being released straight to video on demand, and what that means is that, well, you can buy a physical DVD, of course, but you can also get it on Apple iTunes or Google or Amazon Prime. So any of the ways that you can watch movies at home, and you can get it on your big screen TV, or you can get it on your computer or phone, any device really. So all of that occurs this week. And TrumpCardTheMovie.com is the website.
Okay, DineshDeSouza.com as well. D-S-O-U-Z-A. Okay, do you really think the United States could go down the path of socialism? I mean, I hate to even ask that, and about 5 years ago, we probably wouldn't have even conceived of it, but I guess with the popularity of Bernie Sanders, it's scary, and who knows what's going to happen in the future.
Well, you can see that the normal guardrails of society are coming off, and that means that things that seemed inconceivable a few years ago are not only conceivable, but we're seeing them happen with our own two eyes. Now, socialism, you know, the left is practicing a unique type of it. For Marx, socialism was about the rich and the poor. But for the left, their social divisions run much deeper than that. It's rich against poor, yes, but it's also black against white, male against female, straight against gay, legal against illegal. So it's socialism married to identity politics, and that's why I use the term identity socialism. So that's what the movie exposes, what's novel about all this, and answer is not some historical socialism, but the actual socialism being pushed by the left here and now.
Is there a link between the riots in the streets and what you're calling identity socialism?
For sure. I think two novel phenomena, two tactics of the socialist left. One is the deployment of paramilitaries on the street. These are basically thugs. And their real goal is sort of not just to attack businesses and so on, but to enforce social conformity. And that's why they go and accost people in their homes and threaten them in restaurants. They even recently disrupted a family's birthday party. They're trying to say that you have to conform to our way of thinking, otherwise we will make your life miserable. In a sense, these are the thugs on the street, and their equivalent inside the government is the deep state, the thugs with badges. And this is the police agencies of government that have apparently been corrupted at the highest level, and Trump has not been able to clean that up in his first term.
What does Karl Marx have to do with any of this, the identity politics?
Nothing. The thing about Marx was that Marx thought that racial divisions and other forms of division were cunning devices invented by the ruling class to divide the working class. So Marx said, that at the end of the day, it's all about economics. It's all about the rich and the poor. So I think the left has realized that you cannot, you know, that the ordinary working class guy is not really an ally. The same working class guys who are part of the FDR coalition are now supporting Trump. And so they're using racial division because class division doesn't seem to work.
Hmm. Okay. Now, that's kind of confusing in some ways. And so when you're talking about socialism, you're not necessarily talking about economic socialism per se.
Well, you got to remember that many socialists, self-described socialists today, care more about abortion than the minimum wage. They care more about the transgender bathroom than they care about universal basic income. So, yes, they want economic redistribution, but they also want cultural transformation, a moral remaking of society, and ultimately, I think it's almost a spiritual battle. They want to bring everybody into conformity with their way of thinking, and they will be content with nothing less.
Now, you seem, in the movie, you kind of, in some ways, say that Trump is kind of a Lincoln figure in our time. You know, explain that. Abraham Lincoln.
Well, not in personality. I mean, Lincoln was brooding and melancholy, and Trump is not that way at all. But I think the situations are similar. And what I mean by that is that if you think back to the Reagan era, the main divide was between America and a foreign enemy, the Soviet Union, the Cold War. But it seems to me that now we are sort of in a cold civil war. And what that means is you're dealing with domestic opposition. Well, that's what Lincoln faced. And in a sense, it was very similar because Lincoln was elected. His election was very controversial. In a sense, it was never accepted by the Democratic South. That was the rationale for secession. And we see some of the same parallels between 1860 and now in this country.
All right. How about a comment about the charge that America is guilty of systemic racism? And, oh, by the way, it's in our DNA.
Well, this is the kind of bogus premise of the so-called 1619 Project. Now, it's very important to realize that the plantation system we associate with slavery really developed in America only in the 19th century. It was after the invention of the cotton gin in the 1790s, by the way, after the American founding, that the coal cotton system became huge. And that's when thousands of plantations were spread all over the American South, and the Democratic Party was their champion. That's the key. So what the left is trying to do is take the blame off the Democratic Party, and they're trying to stick it on the founders or stick it on America or stick it on the white man, stick it on anyone except the people who actually did it.
You know, in the, one thing the founding fathers never get credit for, and I think it's really important, before Wilberforce's successful Christian crusade against slavery in the British Empire, including the slave trade first and then slavery itself, okay, 50-year crusade, before that was successful, even the slave trade part, the founders said within 20 years of the Constitution going into effect, the slave trade will be null and void. In other words, no more importation of slaves. But then, of course, as you say, the cotton gin was invented in the 1790s, so therefore there was a demand for slaves, and they just basically drew on the slaves that were already here. But the founders never get credit for saying, hey, no more importation of slaves. That was the first step towards, you know, abolishing slavery. I just think that's important.
Well, a good way to think about it is right before the founding, slavery was legal in every state. But almost immediately following the founding, slavery essentially began to erode, and it took a few decades, but it ultimately was exterminated. It completely disappeared in the North. Now, you had some slaves in the border states. But the founders put into place the mechanisms that ended up destroying slavery. Remember, it was actually easier to end slavery in Britain because there weren't that many slaves in Britain. The cost of doing it in America was, of course, a terrible civil war that took over 500,000 lives.
Mm. Ah, very good point. Okay, we see Antifa out in the streets, and it's not just an idea. It's an actual organization. That's what I think. But you and I have discussed this in the past even. Fascism versus anti-fascism, give us a little definition and to talk about the modern group, the Antifa group.
Well, Antifa ultimately, the real movement of Antifa was started in the interwar years between World War I and II, and it was an ally of the Communist Party. When they set themselves up as anti-fascist, what they really meant is they oppose anybody who was against communism. And similarly now, the Antifa types, their goal really ultimately, they say that they're fighting fascists, but they can't actually find a real fascist. So they end up beating up on patriots and Republicans and Christians and conservatives. They go knock down monuments to Frederick Douglass and Ulysses S. Grant and even Jesus Christ. So you can see very clearly that they're up to something quite different than fighting, quote, fascism. And the other thing you notice is that their own tactics bear, and even appearance bears, an uncomfortable resemblance to the fascists themselves. They use the same kind of street fighting and bullying, the same type of enforced conformity, you know, stopping traffic on the street and making people swear loyalty to Black Lives Matter or Antifa. I mean, this is fascist tactics. And today we see it more among the anti-fascists than anywhere else.
Yeah, there's a very scary statement from Goebbels, Hitler's minister of propaganda, and the scary quote is this: history is made in the street. And what's scary about this is, you know, it's kind of like, okay, if you can get enough, you know, thugs, basically, to beat up people and do what you're talking about, you can end up shaping history in the way you want it to go. That scares me because I've never seen the kind of thing I've seen in America as we've seen this past summer.
We saw some, you know, we saw disruptions in the 60s, but those were specific to the Vietnam War or attached to a specific incident. I think what we're seeing now, you'd have to go back to, you know, Italy in the 20s or Germany in the 30s. And these national socialist regimes of Mussolini and then early Hitler, they did deploy these kinds of thugs. Now, interestingly, my wife, who's from Venezuela, tells me that, yes, in Venezuela, they have the same thing. The socialist regime deploys criminals on the street who are armed to threaten and subdue the citizenry and be an arm of the socialist state.
Mm. Okay, why is socialism so popular among young people today in America?
Because, first of all, these young people take for granted all the abundance of technological capitalism. If you told them, hey, you don't like capitalism, why don't you give up your cell phone? Stop using GPS. Don't use the Airbnb or Uber. They would look at you like you're nuts. So they want to enjoy the abundance of capitalism. But at the same time, the Democrats will promise them, well, how about free college also? And how about a check for $2,000 a month and free retirement? So the strategy of the socialists here is to rob Peter to pay Paul and then count on Paul's political vote.
Yeah. Well, it's like the old statement, if you rob Peter to pay Paul, you'll always have Paul's vote. Vice versa. All right. You went to Dartmouth, I understand, and you didn't you edit like a conservative newspaper? And you got in trouble even in the 80s or something like that for being politically incorrect back at Dartmouth. But as bad as Dartmouth may have been then, it's all these schools are just... It's scary to think what they're churning out. I think a lot of what they're churning out is what we're seeing in the streets today.
Well, that's a key point that, you know, my first book was called Illiberal Education. It was an expose of political correctness. It showed the craziness of the campus. And, you know, essentially some of these campuses have virtually been turned into insane asylums. But I thought that this was a subculture that was walled off from the larger society. I think the phenomenon, remarkable phenomenon in the last couple of decades is to see all this craziness spill out on the street. And so one could almost say that academia is the theory and Antifa is the practice. And by the way, we show this in riveting detail in the movie Trump Card.
Okay, we're basically out of time. Just go ahead and tell us how we can get this movie and et cetera. The website, et cetera.
Just go to TrumpCardTheMovie.com. The nice thing about this is every American can watch this movie at home. I prefer you watch it on your big screen TV because it was a movie made for the big screen. But if you want to watch it on your phone or your computer, you can do that also. So go to TrumpCardTheMovie.com and you'll find out how to get it.
And when did you start making this movie?
I started a year ago, and some of it was a little tricky because we had to film under kind of COVID conditions, but we pulled it off, and it's a heck of a good movie. Yeah. We previewed it at a couple of places, and the reaction has just been uproarious. I mean, people jumping to their feet at the end of the movie. I've had this happen with my earlier movies, but, of course, it doesn't happen with movies in general. So I'm very proud of the stuff we put out. I think it could have a transforming effect on the whole debate this year.
Dinesh D'Souza, always a pleasure. Again, the website is TrumpCardTheMovie.com. Thank Thank you, Dinesh, and all the best to you.
My pleasure.